So when we are getting periods every month, we are actually electrically discharging, right? Your blood carries electricity. It's a charged fluid. And regardless of how you dispose of it, that part of you is going into the ground. Now, they've done research where they've drawn blood from people, treated it, and the people who have had the effect, right? Because it's resonant to you. So every month, a part of you goes into the ground and is grounded. And when we stop having periods, we stop that monthly discharge. All of a sudden, all of these hot spots that were being released through being grounded now start to fire up in our field. And so that is hot flashes, is a big part of it is emotional baggage that you haven't digested and your lack of being grounded.
Welcome to the Menopause Mindset Podcast, the place to get some answers and feel supported along this often a bumpy journey. Many people sail through menopause, but many people don't. And so my guests and I are here to motivate you and inspire you so that you can make menopause a happier transition for yourself and for your loved ones. I'm Sally Garozzo, an award-winning clinical hypnotherapist, a menopause educator, and I can't wait to share my passion about wellness and how we navigate these changes and transitions. So come on then, let's dive in. So my guest today is Eileen Day McCusick. Eileen is a pioneer in the fields of the human biofield, therapeutic sound, and electric health. She's a researcher, author, inventor, educator, speaker, and practitioner. She has researched health since 1987 and specifically how sound impacts health since 1996. She is the originator of the sound therapy method biofield tuning, with thousands of students trained worldwide since 2010. She's the founder of the Biofield Tuning Institute, which conducts grant-funded, peer-reviewed, and published research on the human biofield in partnership with other organizations. Eileen is the author of two best-selling books, the award-winning Tuning the Biofield, Health with Vibrational Sound Therapy, and Electric Body, Electric Health, a groundbreaking look at the electric nature of the human body, emotions, and life itself. Eileen is also the inventor of the revolutionary, much-loved tool, the Sonic Slider, the creator of a line of tuning forks and accessories, and the CEO of BioSona LLC, which provides sound therapy tools and training globally. Her work has helped thousands of people around the world overcome chronic pain, anxiety, depression, and other health challenges, enabling them to live more fulfilling and empowered lives. Eileen's work is changing the way we think about health and wellness. So, Eileen, welcome to the Menopause Mindset Podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sally. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you're here. And honestly, I feel like Christmas has come early for me because I absolutely love your work and I cannot wait to share you with my audience. I feel like you have been sent to me from the ether, and now I know how true that statement is. So before I ask you about your story, which I'd love to in a moment, I'd love to get stuck straight in and ask you, what exactly is an electric perspective, especially on health, as opposed to a chemical perspective on health?
We've been raised in an environment where most of us learned about solids, liquids, and gas, and a chemical, mechanical, reductionist view of life. And I sort of accidentally discovered that there are two more states of matter, and that these are illuminated, electric, alive, connected states of matter, plasma and ether, which you spoke of. And that this is everywhere. Plasma is everywhere. It is the flow of electric current. So our body is a plasma. We have electric current running through us. We have a magnetic field around us. Our atmosphere is a plasma. It's electric, and it's especially electric at places like the beach, right? We go to the beach to recharge, or we go to the forest to recharge, because there's more free ions hanging out that we breathe in and that we absorb and that literally charge our electric body. the sunlight is a plasma, and we also get recharged in the sun. And it's everywhere. And the ether is the underlying, what's called the luminiferous ocean of clear light, the ground state of reality that everything arises from and falls back into. It's all one thing. It's absolutely connected. And this is a completely different cosmology. It's really moving from a cosmology of darkness and separation, billiard ball particles, into a very fluid, dynamic, vibrational, illuminated perspective instead. That's actually a much easier lens to look at life. When you have two additional states of matter available as a resource, it's a lot easier to solve problems that you are struggle to solve in the chemical perspective.
So interesting, because I think for me, it just really expanded my point of view. And it made so much sense that we're not, I think you say in your books, I've been quoting you left, right, and center, we are not of nature, we are nature. Did you say that?
I did say that. It's a really important thing to understand, because we're comprised of the molecules of creation. We're mostly water. We're minerals, we're starlight and sunlight, and we are composed of nature. We are nature, and we steward nature within ourselves. And unfortunately, there's an epidemic of low self-worth and self-loathing. And what we're doing when we direct this acidic negative energy at ourselves is we're doing that to the water. We're doing that to the earth inside of us, without even realizing it. You would never go up to a river and tell it that it was not worthy.
That's so
but
true.
That's what we do to the river within. You know, you wouldn't say to the sun that it's fat and ugly, but we do that to ourselves. And without realizing that we aren't separate from nature. You know, we are nature. Yeah.
So that has an impact. You know, every thought that we think has an impact on our water, on our plasma, on our makeup, on our cells. And it's because the Dr. Emoto, I mean, when I read about cymatics in your book, Biofield Tuning book, I went onto YouTube, went down this rabbit hole of looking at the way our thoughts or vibration affects water. Is it just water?
Or really everything. It is water, but some cymatics experiments are done with sand or salt on a black flat metal plate. It's called a Chladni plate. And whatever frequency you run through a speaker, whether it's into a little dish of water or onto this plate of sand, will cause very specific patterns to spontaneously form. And when you change the vibration, the old pattern dissolves into chaos, and then a new pattern spontaneously arises.
Yes, the chaos and order part of your book really spoke to me about this. You know, everything is unfolding as it should. It might look chaotic, but actually everything is unfolding. Like the universe has this it's a self-organizing principle. I think it was in the world pain chapter of your, and obviously that's so poignant right now with all this stuff going on. I think it's really important to kind of get an understanding of how this stuff enables the world to just sort itself out in a way, and we don't have to get too involved if we're not, you know, involved in it directly.
Yeah, but yes, the world pain piece is really important, especially right now. My job has been to sort of discover and map the biofield, the field of energy and information, the magnetic field that surrounds and interpenetrates the body, really the body's electrical system. And I discovered that when we generate the waveforms of different emotions, they inhabit very specific areas of our body. I worked with many thousands of people and found that like everybody was coming in with right hip pain had the same mental and emotional imbalances and tendencies, just for an example. I spent a number of years really discovering and mapping this field. And the week that Robin Williams committed suicide, Everybody who came in, I was getting jammed up and stuck in their left armpit. There was just so much energy going on in the left armpit. And that's when I discovered that that's the area that I call world pain, which is when somebody like Robin Williams dies, or there's war going on in other countries or whatever, politics, what have you, that's causing people to just bleed out energetically with hopelessness, despair, you know. And really what it is, it's a natural thing, but unfortunately a lot of people get stuck in it. And it's really a pouring out of our energies very incoherently. We're not helping anything when the vibe that we're contributing to the world is incoherent, when we're putting our energy into upset instead of some kind of constructive response, or having power over what we do have to make things better, to bring syntropy, right? We're taught all about entropy and the forces that create chaos, that everything is sort of going down and falling apart. Well, we're not taught about syntropy, which is the opposite force that brings things into creation, that gives rise to order. And so being in the world pain spot is very entropic. It's letting the entropy of the world create entropy in you. And that really starts to take your health down, because we need a balance of entropy and syntropy in our body. But ideally, we should have more syntropy so that we're in a continually regenerative kind of place. Yeah. And when we don't necessarily have a word for something, and we're being bombarded with chaos and division, and what's happening is so many people are just sort of falling into entropy and losing their sense of levity, of lift, of organization and order.
Oh, fascinating. And to know that there is a thing called levity blew my mind, because we think of gravity as that force that pushes us down. But there are forces in the universe that lift and raise us up.
Yeah, well, sound waves actually lift. Like if you've ever been next to something like a steel drum band, you can feel all the water in you bouncing, right?
Yes.
That's why when music starts going, we start doing this because of the levity. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's what dancing is. It's like that levity expression.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. And what you said about focusing on, so is entropy order and syntropy chaos?
Entropy is the creation of chaos, and syntropy is the creation of order.
Oh, okay. So what implications does that have when we talk about menopause? Because I think many people think that menopause is a really destructive time in a person's life, but I sort of feel like it's a journey that we go on through chaos into order again.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, because our body is holding one rhythm and pattern of expression, and then it goes into chaos, and then it comes back with a new order and expression. And being on the other side of it, I can tell you it's way better on the other side.
Brilliant. I was going to ask you about your menopausal story, but I want to backtrack a little bit because I have some other questions. You have an incredible ability to make very complex physics easy to understand. How did you come to have that ability, Eileen?
Ever since I was a kid, my mom used to say, if there's an easy way to do anything, that child is going to find it. And I would say something like, well, I'm just following natural law. You know, water and electricity seek the path of less resistance. And then they'd say, oh, you should be a lawyer. You can convince anybody of anything. But I think it is in a little bit that, like, that Libra laziness of wanting to make things simple, make things easy, make things digestible. You know, when confronted with any problem, I'm always stepping back, widening the lens, and looking for the most efficient, sensible way to do anything.
Yeah.
And so in discovering plasma and the body's electrical system and ether and all of these things that I had to spend a lot of time researching, even though I like to make things simple, I am capable of grasping and digesting and integrating complex information and connecting dots and that sort of thing. I love to read, and I read very quickly. So I really absorbed a lot of information. But I also understand that at the end of the day, I don't like reading things that are complex. And I always want to boil something down to its simplest essence, right? What's the essence of this that's going to be useful to you in a language and a concept that is going to be useful? That's another thing that I'm always looking for. I don't want to waste your time with anything that isn't going to be useful and helpful, and kind of pivot your perspective so that you are able to solve problems that you weren't able to solve before.
Yeah, I think you're a real pioneer in the field of, you know, health and wellness, and bringing in that electric perspective as well, and that whole shift in cosmology. Because I was thinking, what has cosmology got to do with anything to do with sound and healing? But actually, it's your cosmology is the way that you view the nuts and bolts of the universe, like how you believe the universe is constructed. And actually, when you follow your way of thinking, which is that lovely digested hardcore physics way, you actually get a much deeper understanding of, like, for me, I didn't even consider plasma or ether. I was a bit of a new age hippie many years ago, and obviously into the universe and spirit, but didn't really understand what it was I was talking about. I mean, you give it real clarity. And then plasma as well, this idea that every breath you take, you're breathing in electromagnetic energy, which is fueling your system and making your system healthy again. And, you know, I live by the sea, which is amazing. So I've got that lovely energy coming in all the time. How on earth did you get into this line of work? Because you're essentially a sound healer, aren't you? You use tuning forks. What was it like? How did you realize a tuning fork could do the work that you make it do?
When I was 18, I had a bit of a spiritual crisis, I suppose. I was raised in an atheistic family and sent through atheistic schooling. And but then I had sort of a drug-induced awakening, if you will, that really set me on the path of a seeker. I really wanted to understand and heal the deep angst that I was suffering from, that expressed itself in many dysfunctional ways. And when I used to read nonfiction, like as a kid, I was totally geek, you know, always had my nose in a book, but I was always reading fiction. And when I was 18, I switched to nonfiction and I started reading books about health and human potential and science and spirituality and just devouring through them. And anybody who is a researcher like that by nature knows that one book leads to the next and the next, right? And it just kind of takes you down that trail of crumbs. And I think I read Deepak Chopra's book, Quantum Healing, which introduced me to the notion that everything was vibration, that solidity is an artifact of human perception, and that ultimately everything is waves in space. It's spun light or spun ether. It appears solid, but it really isn't. It's just vibrating light. And then that led me to vibrational healing, which just made sense to me. If everything is vibration and I'm vibration, then treating vibration with vibration is the most direct, simple, elegant way to get in order. And I went out, and this was in 1996, and I found all the books I could find on the topic, which wasn't very many. And then I got a catalog in the mail one day from Gaia. I think it was Gaiam back then, and it had a set of tuning forks for healing in it. And it was the C major scale, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. It came with a little tiny instruction book. It said use C in the root chakra, D in the sacral chakra, da, 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 on. And at the time I was doing massage therapy part-time. I started a restaurant when I was 20, and I was in the restaurant business and the specialty food business sort of concurrently while I had the tuning forks going on as a hobby. And so I started experimenting with these tuning forks with my massage therapy clients, and it was fascinating. It's just so fascinating. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, so many people say to me, well, I have tuning forks, but I don't know what to do with them. I'm like, I didn't know what to do with them either. You know, I just started playing with them. I started experimenting with them. I just started, you know, trying this and observing what was happening. And without even knowing what I was doing, people were reporting that they were way more relaxed, that their pain went away, that they slept great. that sort of thing. And so I kept using them as a hobby, and actually as a hobby for 10 years. But I was way ahead of the curve. You know, now a lot of people have heard of sound healing, but in Connecticut in the 90s, like, nobody had heard of sound healing.
Yeah.
It just seemed very, very woo-woo. And I'm not woo-woo. You know, I'm very practical, grounded, sensible, logical, you know, analytical. And so when people would perceive me that way, I'm not a new age, you know, kind of airy fairy person.
Which is why I love you so much. <thank you. laughs>
And so so I did it for 10 years as a hobby. And then by accident, one day I started making discoveries in the atmosphere around the body. And when I started working in the atmosphere around the body, my therapeutic outcomes really became pretty dramatic. So much so that I ended up feeling like, you know, this is the kind of healing when you're out of sorts, when you're stuck, when you've got pain or whatever, and you go to some kind of provider, you're looking for relief. Yeah. And what I was doing with the tuning forks was really providing people with relief for all kinds of things. And it occurred to me that I kind of had a moral obligation to bring it into the world. You know, even though I was fearful of slings and arrows and attacks for doing, you know, I'm a woman from Vermont waving tuning forks around people as a target. But one day I got this really clear download from God, and came in what I call my prime directive. And it came into me and in my mind kind of like certified mail. It was very, very clear. And it said, at the time I was making kettle corn, I had the first organic kettle corn available in stores in 2004. And I was getting ready to automate it and blow it up and sell it to Frito-Lay and retire. That was what I thought I was doing. But then God said to me, the world needs harmony more than it needs another snack food. And you need to go to college, get degrees, learn and teach about sound, cover the globe with biofield tuning, awaken an army, and bring this into the mainstream. And I was like, hell no, I don't want to do that. But I did. I ended up selling my popcorn business, going to college as an adult, writing a master's thesis called Exploring the Effects of Audible Sound on the Human Body and Its Biofield. And then that became the basis for my first book, Tuning the Human Biofield. Yeah. And then a few years later, I wrote Electric Body, Electric Health. And it turned into a whole journey that I never expected. Now there's 12 biofield tuning instructors. We've trained thousands of students and practitioners around the world. And I have my own line of tuning forks and, you know, so many people that, that have gotten relief from this approach with sound and electric health. And, you know, it's growing all the time, which is, it's really exciting to actually be helping people.
Of course. Yeah. It gives your life so much meaning, doesn't it? I think it's amazing what you've done, and to get that nudge, even though you didn't really want to do it. I've had that myself, actually. That, in fact, it was around, I got asked to write a sound healing course. And I was like, look, I'm not a sound healer. I sing and I use my voice, so I could do it, but I'm not a sound healer. And this person kept asking and asking. I was like, no, I don't want to do it. I kept saying no until one day I just said, yeah, all right, I'll do it. And that's when I came across your work. And I didn't actually write the sound healing course in the end. I've gone in a different direction, but I think I was meant to come across your work. You know, your work is so powerful. So I get that. And thank you for answering that call from God. I've got a selfish question. Is God the same as ether in your eyes?
Yeah. I mean, God is everything, right?
Yeah.
The ether and the flow, you know, what might be called prana, the wind, the flow through the ether, the spiraling waves that create plasma. So ether is non-dual. It is beyond time and space. It is the everything. And then what creates time and space is the flow of energies spiraling, and that is the plasma. So ether, through torsion, spins itself into plasma, and plasma spins itself into gases, liquids and solids, right? But it's all spun ether. So God is ether. God is the energy moving through the ether. The sound in the beginning was the word, right? And the word was with God. So it's all one thing. It's the creator and creation, the movement of life, of breath through pure potential.
Wow. Yeah, it's getting cosmic and very spiritual. what was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say. No, okay, don't worry. So biofield tuning is your baby, and you're waving tuning forks outside of someone's body. What is it that you are moving through when you're waving tuning forks through the outside of someone's body?
Well, it's our human atmosphere. So our body has an electric current running through it. Anything that has an electric current running through it has a magnetic field around it, a toroidal magnetic field. And we know that magnetic fields guide and inform electric currents. So that's part of what is going on. There's also moisture because we're always evaporating and moisture gets trapped in clouds. So we have clouds of trapped moisture around us. You know, somebody's blue or under the weather. Their moisture is hanging in them because of the way that their charge is. There's what I would call our mind, what we call our conscious mind, our subconscious mind. In my mapping, I discovered that actually all our memories are stored here in standing waves in like our own personal cloud storage. And they're stored in a very specific format. As we generate vibrational information within us, like we got all these little needles and they're metering out how we feel, how our breath is, what our heart rate is doing, what we're thinking. This is all being recorded in these standing waves. And as we generate information, it moves away from us. So I find recently generated information close to the body, and I find your oldest memories, gestation is in the double layer plasma membrane, the bubble membrane of the toroid. So within that membrane, I find information that was generated during gestation, just inside of that is birth. And when I use a tuning fork, moving it through somebody's field, it's sort of like dropping a needle on an album and reading the vibrational record of someone's lives, the highs, the lows, the chaos periods, the voids, all of these different experiences that we have are all encoded in this very pure vibrational language that the tuning forks sort of decode. They're almost like an invisible ink decoder that allows me to feel into it. It's sort of like what I call teaching myself sonic braille, that there's a whole language that when I hear this sound in the forks, it means that. When I hear this sound, like some are very distinct and very easy to learn. Like depression has an undertone that you can really hear that's like,
okay.
Fear has a pulsing quality. And when we get really scared, right, that waveform, that pulsing waveform moves us and we shake.
Yeah.
Alarm has a spike in it. Like if you suddenly get into a car accident, you can hear the sort of like alarm spike. And then there's lots and lots of other nuances that over 27 years of listening to tuning forks, I've absolutely decoded all of these subtleties of sound. And in the beginning, it was sort of intuition, or what I call my mail slot, where I would hit something and it would say something like sadness, age 12. And that was how I learned, was that some part of me, or God or what have you, told me when I hit these distortions and areas where energy felt stuck, what it was. But then in time, it became a science. It became, that sound means that. Like to learning any language, right? You're like, oh, that sound means that. That sound means that. So I'm bilingual in that I also speak vibration as well as English.
Oh, that's brilliant. Fascinating. Can anyone learn this language that you have? Well, I guess so, because that's what you teach.
Yeah, that's what we teach. And yes, absolutely. And people are surprised. It seems like it might be subtle or strange, or that only people who are gifted, like in the very beginning, my very first class of students was in 2010. And I was working on a master's in education, and I wanted to wait until I was, you know, degreed before I started teaching. But I had a group of clients and friends that kind of bullied me into teaching them. And it was kind of fun, that very first pilot class. One of my brothers said to me, he's like, "Can you teach what you do?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm going to find out." And they all learned it and they all picked it up. And, you know, people who've been doing it a long time, I have all my teachers, you know, work on me. It's like being worked on by myself. The insight, the knowing, the language, it comes. I mean, obviously it takes time, you know, just like learning any instrument. You know, you have to have experience in order to become experienced. Yeah. And with every experience you have, you gain insight more and more. You have these aha moments where you make these connections and the whole picture of what is really going on in the system starts to become clear. And then you just really get it. You get the language. And you can feel it. You know, when we come in, we're looking for distortion and resistance. And people, if you go too fast, you don't find it. Or if you think you can't do it, it might get in your way. Or if you think it's nonsense. Now, our minds can be very filtery. Yeah. But people who have a genuine desire to help other people to heal, to truly heal. You know, it's such a direct and immediate way. Like, we can take somebody who's very high on the pain scale and bring them down to a 1 or a 0 in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about pain, like, let's just say, for example, in the biofield anatomy, the right shoulder relates to saying yes when we mean no, putting other people's needs ahead of our own, being a caregiver, being a caretaker. And many people overextend themselves in that way energetically, right? And then that can breed resentment. Then you become resentful about them, but it's really your bad boundaries that are, yeah, you know, causing you to overgive. And I have a girlfriend who, she owns a massage therapy school. She has a massage practice. She was an adjunct professor at 2 universities and a single mom. Wow. And one day a while back, she called me and she said, "Eileen, I fell hiking. Guess where I injured myself?" And I said, "Your right shoulder." And she said, "Yep."
Yeah.
Right. So when we have an imbalance energetically, then that's going to create a weakness in our whole system, a vulnerability in our field. And we're more likely to get injured in these places where we're sort of mentally and emotionally out of balance in our mind. Mm-hmm. In the biofield model, the body is inside the mind rather than the other way around. And when we go into imbalanced places of perseveration or overdoing or overindulging certain emotions, then that pulls our body out of whack. So if somebody is really an overgiver and they end up with pain in their right shoulder, then what we could do, then a tuning fork is really interesting. You know, you hear tuning fork and you're like, "Oh, tuning fork." It's sort of a weird thing. But what a tuning fork is it's a tone generator. Right? It's, yeah, just a tone generator, vibrating physics instrument that produces a tone. And vibrating in our electric environment, it creates a weak magnetic charge. So tuning fork acts like a mirror. Like, I'll come in towards that sore shoulder and hit the place where it's like, ah! And then so I'm reflecting that back to the body. Right. So, you know, if you haven't seen a mirror in a while and you finally come across one, your hair is a mess and you have poppy seed in your teeth, like, your first instinct is to groom yourself, right? Just to put yourself back in order. We all do that. It's the same with your body's electrical system. When it gets a reflection of a way that it's out of order, it will use that reflection rhythmically, tonally, to start to put itself back in order. So the tuning fork is acting like a mirror. It's acting like a metronome because it's keeping this steady rhythm, right? It's producing a strong, coherent signal. And a strong, coherent signal will overtake and entrain a weak, incoherent signal. So this is physics that is happening here. And then it acts like a magnet. So because you've been over, you know, you're imbalanced, you have all of this magnetic energy, and that magnetic energy is pulling the electricity in your body to this area. So you end up with too much current through the wires, right? What's inflammation? It's heat. It's an electrical jam up. Yeah. And so the tuning fork, we can use it like a magnetic stylus. So that energy that's been stuck, when you stick the fork in it, you can actually move the magnetic field. You can adjust the magnetic field. So we grab onto it and we pull it to the midline of the body and then set it in. And then the electricity drains out and then the pain goes away.
Yeah.
And it's so elegant and it's so non-invasive and it's so rapid to do this magnetic field adjustment. You know, we're stuck in the body, like science is recognizing we have electricity in the body, but there's still this sort of denial of the fact that there's a magnetic field when it's a basic fact of science that we all learned in grade school, that anything with electric current has a magnetic field. The human body is no different.
Yeah, so beautifully put. And so many implications for menopausal symptoms as well, I should imagine, because at menopause we get this heat that comes up as well. What is your perspective on menopausal symptoms, especially hot flushes, from an electric perspective?
So there's a couple of things going on. As electrical beings, it's really important that we are grounded to the earth. And rubber sole shoes are insulators that stop us from being electromagnetically connected and in balance with our electrical environment. And as a consequence, we end up building up positive charge and are deficient in the negative charge. So the positive charge is atmospheric. It's sort of the downcoming energy, the solar energy, but also something we get off of all of our devices as well. You know, just positive charge. And when we don't have bare feet, we're not grounding that positive charge and we're not pulling in the negative charge, the upgoing charge, right? So we have sort of that, and that has created many health issues. Just the fact that we're electrically disconnected from our environments by rubber insulation, most of us. Our fields and our bodies are filled with these hotspots, these places where we suppressed emotion, where we suppressed expression, where an emotion started to rise up. But, you know, most of us were raised in an abstinence-only home when it came to expressing emotions. We, you know, weren't allowed to get angry, and boys weren't allowed to get sad. And, you know, all of these emotions, like hate is a very strong word, you can't use that, or shame is a very low vibe, so I'm not going to feel that kind of thing. And so there's all of this judgment and restriction and holding in. People who have fibromyalgia, for example, in my experience, have tendencies of always holding themselves back. They hold back their words. They hold back their actions. They hold back their emotions, make themselves small. And they end up in pain because it takes a lot of energy to create that kind of restriction in your body of holding yourself back. So when we are getting periods every month, we are actually electrically discharging, right? Your blood carries electricity. It's a charged fluid. And regardless of how you dispose of it, that part of you is going into the ground. Now, they've done research where they've drawn blood from people, treated it, and the people who have had the effect, right? Because it's resonant to you. So every month, a part of you goes into the ground and is grounded. And when we stop having periods, we stop that monthly discharge. All of a sudden, all of these hotspots that were being released through being grounded now start to fire up in our field. And so that is hot flashes. Is a big part of it is emotional baggage that you haven't digested and your lack of being grounded.
I've always said this with the, you know, menopausal symptoms, there's a huge link between adverse childhood experiences, trauma, and menopause symptom severity. So I was, I'm a hypnotherapist, and I noticed in about 2019 that a lot of my clients were menopausal women. They had bad symptoms and they had all this childhood trauma. So I did a little bit of research and I discovered a study that was done by scientists at the Mayo Clinic who found this correlation between, you know, adverse childhood experiences, menopause symptom severity. And they concluded that they really should take, if you're designing a menopause care plan for someone, you should take into consideration trauma as well and their experiences. And what you're saying through your lens is pretty much the same thing.
There. Because trauma creates this response in us, right? We constrict, we contract. And so within the record of your field, you have all of these places where you've constricted, where you've contracted, and that's where electricity gets jammed up and gets hot. It gets hot. And our field is always circulating through us. So these undigested places where we're knotted up inside, both in the field and in the body, overheat. And so what I did when I started to go into menopause was I started to experience hot flashes. And I'm such a problem solver. You know, I don't want to live with discomfort or pain. Like if something in me starts to go the least bit south, I figure out how to fix it. You know, I don't, it's an unacceptable reality for me to be living in pain or discomfort. Like I want to solve those problems. And so I tackled menopause in the same way. And what I discovered was this really strong need to get grounded. And this was back in 2016. Where there weren't really leather-soled shoes anywhere. I found a pair of moccasins that were leather-soled shoes. And now on the market, there's so many brands of leather and grounded shoes. But back then, there really wasn't. And I started wearing these moccasins everywhere. And, you know, I'm the kind of girl who likes cute shoes. You know, I like heels. I like sandals and stuff like that. My husband started calling me Pocahontas because I've been everywhere in these moccasins, or barefoot. And I peed outside. That's another way we connect electromagnetically to the ground. Yeah. And I started using this tuning fork that I created. In fact, I have here so I can demonstrate. I started using this tuning fork that I created that's based in the Earth's electromagnetic resonance. So our electromagnetic plasma atmosphere has a frequency, a pulse that's always going on in it. And it's called the Schumann resonance. And that it's about 7.83 hertz. And so I made a tuning fork based in the Schumann resonance called the Sonic Slider. It's 7.83 times 12, and which makes it 93.96 hertz. And it is such a soothing, pleasing frequency. And it brings us into like this new rhythm, right? Because you've had a rhythm like every month, like click, 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 you lose it, you drop an egg, you have your period. And that's, you know, it's an important rhythm for women. And so when you lose that rhythm, you kind of have to find another rhythm. And what better rhythm to entrain yourself to than this sort of, you know, but what's in our atmosphere, what's in our environment, the Earth's heartbeat, if you will. Yeah. So you activate this tuning fork and you slide the handle. You just slide the handle on yourself and you do it like dry brushing. You slide all up towards the heart. And I did this religiously a couple times a day. And sort of amazingly lost a bunch of weight that I didn't anticipate happening. That doesn't happen to everybody. Like I'm kind of an outlier on that scale. But for me, who also had a lot of childhood trauma and a lot of that kind of constricting, what it led to was that I had all these fascia knots. Like my fascia was all bunched up in knots. Yeah. And as I started using the Sonic Slider, I came out in bruises all over my body, not tender ones, but just bruises where these fascia knots were releasing. And as my fascia went from being knotted to being more spread out, my body was able to get rid of this excess water weight that I've been carrying. And, you know, I had a few night sweats, I peed a lot. And in pretty short order, really, you know, dropped a few sizes. And my husband said, my wife hit menopause and suddenly developed the body of a teenager, said no man ever.
That gives us hope.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm an example of somebody who did have childhood trauma and did start to have menopausal symptoms. But then sorted them out. You know, I got grounded and I got earthed and I got that restriction ironed out of my body and really came out the other side just so much healthier, more vibrant. You know, once you're not in that, you know, there's a beauty to that cycle, but also when it ends, sex can get a lot better. And, you know, surprisingly, my libido went up, which I didn't expect. So I think that this is sort of expectation that you're going to gain weight and that you're going to be miserable and that, you know, you're going to need your hormones balanced. I didn't think about hormones at all. Like in the chemical model, yeah, let's figure out your hormones. But in the electric model, like it's the waveforms in you that create the hormones.
Right.
And so when you fix the waveforms, that sorts out the hormones.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get a Sonic Slider. It comes with a handle, doesn't it? Like an elongated.
Well, you can have it different ways. So actually, I brought all of the accessories. So this is with what's called a handle extender. And this just slides on and screws on, and it gives you a bigger surface. So you can slide with that. You use it on your face, on your neck. You can heat it up under hot running water, you know, and then slide it on your body while it's warm, and it's really delicious. You can also like, get into tight shoulders and things like that with this. But a lot of body workers like to use it. We also have what's called a contour boot, which is just a smooth little boot. And this is really nice on the face. A lot of people who are estheticians and that sort of thing will use the Sonic Slider as part of their routine. And then this is called a circuit boot. It's an amplifier boot. It's got 16 little holes that amplify the frequency. And so you use this, like we have a lot of people who use this for pain, for arthritis. You know, just to really, like, you're sending coherent energy into the body, menstrual cramps, digestive issues. People have found that if they use it regularly on all of their digestive organs, that it actually adds rhythm and tone to the digestive system. So make people more regular or able to digest things that maybe give them a hard time. Mm. So it's got a lot of different uses. And, you know, at this point, it was we just had its 6-year anniversary a couple of days ago. So there's many thousands of Sonic Sliders out there being used for personal care and practices, and absolutely helps with menopause. Yeah. That's my experience and the experience of others. So.
Oh, I'm so going to get one. Could you explain just a little bit more about what coherence and incoherence is and how it relates to the body?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's easy to understand incoherence. You know, if you go into a space that's really chaotic and messy or dirty, or, you know, you don't feel good when something's incoherent, something's not hanging together, or music, if different people's instruments are out of tune and they're trying to play together, it's incoherent. Yeah. When something is coherent, it's all in order. It all makes sense. It all hangs together. It's all resonant in just the right ways. An orchestra playing beautifully together is coherence, right? So coherence is hanging together in a way that makes sense, is orderly. And incoherence is kind of just a jumbled mess. It's not. And so the level of efficiency in a coherent system versus an incoherent system is really fast. So tuning fork produces a coherent signal. It's steady. It's rhythmic. It's, you know, it's very coherent. A healthy body or your healthy organs produce coherent signals. HeartMath talks about the coherent emotions versus the incoherent emotions and how they inform our heart rate variability. So when you're feeling coherent emotions like love and appreciation and gratitude, then your signal is coherent and everything in your body is in a coherent state. But when you're thrown for a loop or under pressure or stress or, you know, dealing with really difficult things, and your system starts to go kind of out of whack. And the more incoherence we have, the more entropy happens. And, you know, things start to fall apart in our systems.
And that's when we get more like autoimmune issues and things like that that can also come up at menopause too, I would imagine.
Yeah. Autoimmunity is really interesting. What I've observed in people who suffer from autoimmune disorders is that they have a very vicious inner critic. That they're inwardly divided and mentally and emotionally at war with themselves. So when you look outside of us and you see humans attacking humans, like, that's an autoimmune disorder. We're all family.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said recently as a joke that he went and got a genetics test and got the results back, and turns out he was related to everybody.
Because it's true, isn't it? I've had that ancestry thing done myself, and we all go back to, I think it's like North Africa or some part. Our roots are all in Africa. We are related to everyone.
We're all related to everybody, and we all go back to Mother Ocean. You know, she's the ultimate ancestor, and she lives in all of us, right? We're in bags of salt water. We're all spawn of Mother Ocean, and in that family, certainly, right? But even as humans, you go back, like, from the very beginning, of course, we're all related. And so what we see out there is really a reflection of what is going on in most people. Through the tactic of divide and conquer, first and foremost, we've been inwardly divided into self against self. And most people have the construct of critic and that which is criticized, you know, the judge, the punisher, dramas of attack and defense going on, plagued with unworthiness, not good enough. So when that kind of inner division, when you're not whole inside, when you don't have a loving relationship with yourself, it's coming back to Emoto and how, or what Beta Austin is doing, or the experiments that people have done with jars of rice. You take cooked rice, you put it in jars, and one of them you love and the other one you hate and the other one you ignore. And the rice that you love doesn't rot. And the rice that you ignore and that you're mean to gets all moldy. It goes, right? Mm. So love is centropic. It brings coherence. It brings order. And when we're negative towards ourselves, when we're harsh or critical or judgmental, it's creating this entropy, this collapse, this pulling in. And certainly this inner division that is very incoherent, right? So the best thing that we can do for ourselves is to create inner unity and a sense of inner coherence where everything is groovy. And I think people feel really guilty. Like, I think everybody wants to feel that way, but I think we've been really programmed to feel good, that we're afraid to feel joy and to feel love because something's going to come along and like ruin that, right? That's one of those things from trauma from childhood. You're like playing, you're having a good time, and then suddenly someone comes in and like, you know, is ruins it. And so, so many people are programmed to not let themselves expand, to feel joyful, to feel creative, to feel playful, because they're going to be punished in some way. Right. So we're all kind of curled in and divided and beating ourselves up. And that's not coherent, and that's not health.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautifully put. You mentioned about we all come from the ocean and we're all salt water. Why is it that having a bath with Himalayan sea salt in it, why is that good for us? Why do we feel so good afterwards? What is it about salt?
Well, when you put salt in water, it turns it into a plasma. It makes it electrically conductive. And the way that electricity works is electricity flows from areas of greater concentration to lesser concentration. And so if you had a long, hard day and you're all sort of filled up with positive charge and static, when you get into a bath or when you get into the ocean, you go into equilibrium with your environment. And similar kind of thing happens if you just lay down on the grass. Right. So it is this just allowing the charge to redistribute itself so that it becomes equalized.
That makes sense. Yeah. So something going from a higher concentration to a lower concentration, which we all studied in school, but didn't think it applied to our health in some weird way. Yeah. We are going to wrap things up soon, but I do want to ask you, what is the difference between raising our voltage and raising our vibration?
That's such a great question. Okay, well, when we raise our voltage, we are accessing our capacity, our potential as human beings, right? We all have our moving electric current through us all the time. And what happens is when we're holding back our emotions, when we're going into constriction because of traumatic inputs, we're creating resistance in the flow. And that drops the overall voltage, right? Anywhere where there's resistance, it's going to make the current flow drop. And so through biofield tuning, and, you know, there's other practices as well that help to get rid of these restrictions. I mean, it's really the premise of all holistic health practices. Acupuncture is doing the same thing. Chiropractic is doing the same thing. Massage, fascial release, you know, all the body works are aiming to help the body to release blockages so that you can maximize your potential, your voltage running through your signal. Now, the more voltage that you have running through orderly wiring, the higher your energy is, the more clear and consistent it stays through the day. You're more focused, you're more on task. You have more levity. You're more likely to joke or to play or to laugh, right? Or maybe to dance. Yeah. I find that the more my voltage goes up, the more I just want to sing and dance. I was like singing and dancing all around my apartment this morning. I couldn't stop myself. But I just have so much energy running through my system. That's a lot how life wants to celebrate, wants to be joyful, wants to be creative and expressive. Mm-hmm. So that's raising your voltage. The idea of raising your vibration really kind of speaks to the same thing. When people say raise your vibration, it's you want to feel that levity. You want to feel, you know, good and all of those joyful, positive things. But for me, as both a writer and a sound therapist, somebody who's been doing this for a long time, I'm kind of picky about words and how we use them. And what I've observed is that oftentimes people will spiritually bypass, or what I call purple washing, their low vibes because they're trying to have high vibes. And so they won't let themselves feel their anger or their hate or their rage or their shame or any of these difficult things because they're, you know, trying to be positive. In my work, I found that it's absolutely essential to be real about what our emotions are trying to tell us. They're messengers there to keep us safe, to keep us healthy. It's so important that we feel, and that we feel everything, that we don't label anything bad and repress it. It's going to create resistance.
Yeah.
So I think it's much more important to have real vibrations, authentic vibrations, than higher vibrations. And the more we get into that state of flow and the more coherent we become, the more we naturally, well, what really happens is actually we don't necessarily go up. Like, there can be a lift in feeling, but we're actually expanding in every direction. Mm-hmm. We're becoming more rooted, more grounded, accessing more of our potential, having more connections with the world around us, right? It's not just this linear up-down scale. All the world's a circle. Energy moves in spirals. So this is really more that. It also, when we talk about high vibes, it kind of demonizes lower vibrations, right? Like, how does that make the bass players feel? And we need to have low vibrations, technically. You know, we need delta waves to sleep and alpha waves, right? So low vibrations aren't bad. What we're really doing is getting our vibration, like, in tune. We're clarifying our signal, and we're getting stronger. We're raising our voltage, expanding our coherent reach into the world. Yeah. And that's what happens when we get healthy, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We don't just raise our vibration.
Right. Yeah. It's a more rounded picture and a more accurate description of what's actually going on. And what I love in your book is you talk about these vast low vibrations that are literally like the peak and the trough is like light years away from each other. And how can that be bad? It's just a vibration.
Yeah. Exactly.
That blew my mind, actually.
Yeah.
Say again.
They're all God, you know, all of them, the incredibly low, the incredibly high, everything in between. Right. You know, creation is a symphony of all of it.
Yes. Yeah. I recently went to go and see the London Concert Orchestra at the Royal Albert Hall, actually, back in the summer. And they were playing the music of Hans Zimmer and John Williams. And my God, what a bath of coherent waves. I literally came out of there feeling, just really not pumped up, high voltage, you know?
Charged. Yeah,
you charged up. Right?
Because coherent music, like good music, absolutely charges us up. It's such good medicine. It's just such good medicine for us to do and to experience. And you know, voice also is a wonderful way to raise our own voltage, singing with others. I do this work called Sing the Body Electric with two Australian brothers, Isaac and Toral Corin, that is all toning, that we discovered kind of without trying that the sounds that babies make naturally actually resonate in very specific areas of the body. Sounds like goo and ghee and ma and pa and wa, da, all of these sounds have certain areas of resonance. And so we have a workshop where we lead people through many hours of toning resonantly through their whole body. And so energizing, so enlivening. You can get high from making sounds. And I think it's such a great resource for people because you have your voice all the time and it's free. So there's so much to discover in the world of sound healing that can help you feel better, whether you're going through menopause or any other challenges. If you haven't checked out Therapeutic Sound yet, you definitely should.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And one thing you said in your menopause lecture was we shouldn't be asking, how do I get through menopause? We should be asking, how am I getting through my day? I thought that was really poignant and significant because how we're getting through our day will probably decide how we're going to get through our menopause.
Yeah, it's true. We tend to kind of big chunk things out, but everything really comes down to the moment to moment things. I just taught a course with the Shift Network called The Gifts of the Ancestors. And it was about how we become so conditioned towards like fame and fortune and stuff and da 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 that we've lost the deep appreciation of the small gifts in the moment. And that our day is just made up of all of these small moments and all of these opportunities to share and express love or humor or play, to really appreciate our morning coffee or how we made this beautiful lunch for ourselves or the way that the light is falling on that tree in this moment or these flowers that I decided to buy and bring home for myself so I could have the joy of them. Yes. Right? That it's really all about like how much love and presence are you bringing to each moment? Because that's ultimately really all we've got at the end of the day, at the end of our lives.
Yeah, beautifully put. Thank you, Eileen. Thank you so much for your time. I'm just so excited that we actually got to have this conversation in the end. I know there was a little blip at the start. But yeah, I am over the moon that you've taken the time to do this for us. Biofield tuning is amazing. I forgot to say that I've had a biofield tuning session with a lady not too far from here in the UK, Angela Mason, I think her name is. It was really interesting. I could hear she picked up something on my lower back and there was this real like alerting sound. And I was like, oh my God, I can hear it. It's amazing. And I felt incredible afterwards. I've booked 3 sessions with her. So I'm going to go back on my birthday, actually. I'm going back for my second session. So I really hope people do seek out a biofield tuning practitioner. Get Eileen's books. They are amazing. Check out all of her work online. Because you have like recordings that people can listen to. And you also have webinars that people can join as well, don't you? Not just biofield tuning.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of recordings that people say are helpful, that it's less expensive than going to a practitioner, an interesting way to experience the work. I have lots of free ones on YouTube. I have a series that I call Sonic Sundays, and each one of those is a little conversation and a tuning. And so there's lots of free ones on YouTube. There's lots of free ones on my website. So get started with what's free. Yeah. And then you can check out other stuff if you're so inclined. We also have a training program. We have a very comprehensive, very excellent training program to teach you how to do biofield tuning, and it works as a standalone practice, but it also integrates really beautifully into so many other of the healing arts as well. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home online or in person.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It does translate online. You can do remote sessions with it, can't you, because of the ether.
Because of the ether, resonance in the ether. I didn't think it was possible. And believe me, I get how like remote tuning fork healing sessions sounds like really out there. Like I totally get it. I mean, I was mortified by this stuff for the longest time because I totally understand the skeptics and like how that's so hard to grasp. I was like that. I was so skeptical about distance, you know, but then I did it and it worked. Yeah. I was like, well, there has to be some kind of law of nature that explains this. And that's what I came up with. The ether is all one. It's instantaneous resonance in the ether. And because the ether transcends time and space, you can listen to a recording I made in 2019 and still have a sort of profound outcome with it. Yeah. So, and same with receiving distance sessions from tuning. I mean, I almost never get in-person sessions and rarely give them. Yeah. We find that it's really effective. Just a friend of mine called me yesterday and she said, I'm having a really hard time right now. I'm about to do something that's really scary and my system is just a mess. And I spent 15 minutes, we weren't even on the phone, tuning into her energy and getting it to settle down. Yeah. When I was done, she was like, yep, something released. I feel way better. Thank you. And I was like, isn't that amazing that I can just like wave my tuning fork around in my apartment, just holding her in my mind. And she's, you know, in New York City and she's experiencing a state change like that. Like, how cool is that? How accessible is that?
Yeah. Very, very cool. Very accessible. And the future of medicine, as Albert Einstein said. Yeah.
Yes, I believe it. I think we're going to move very quickly into the light's going to come on and everyone is going to grasp that they are electric and that the world is electric and that electric health is a way faster, easier, more fun way to get healthy.
Yeah. Thank you, Eileen, so much. I am so grateful for you, and I hope everyone has got something amazing out of this.
Yay, thank you. You're welcome. My pleasure. It was a joy to talk to you, Sally.
Oh, thank you.
So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation. As you know, it was the one I've been waiting to release and for you all to hear for ages. It was a long time coming, and I really hope that conversation with Eileen has helped you to look at your health through a very different lens than the biological one, which sometimes has real limitations, especially for women's health. You know, when I see these wars going on Instagram about the effectiveness of complementary therapies on things like autoimmune issues or menopause symptoms or long COVID and things like that, sometimes I want to pipe up and say something, but then I tell myself, well, nothing is going to convince someone of the effectiveness of complementary therapies if they are looking at life and health through that biological lens only. Of course, something like sound healing or Reiki or homeopathy or even hypnotherapy is not going to make sense when you have a reductive, mechanistic view of reality. So in order to even give complementary therapies a chance, it's important to start with the belief that there might be something other than biology at play. And that is physics, as Eileen has so beautifully demonstrated. So I'm a huge believer that everything happens for a reason. I didn't plan this episode to come out on New Year's Day. It just went that way because it's the first of the month. But I think it's a phenomenal way for us all to start the new year. I don't know about you, but I've decided to step up a gear this year. The last 2 years, I've been recovering from some traumatic events that some of you know about. And therefore, it was all about going inward for me. It was about simplicity, coming home to myself, figuring out what actually happened, learning more about my nervous system, and truly recovering and, you know, paring everything back. But this year, I feel so much more healed. I feel like broadening, I feel like expanding, I feel like deepening and switching things up, which leads me beautifully to my next point. Get ready for it. I have started a brand new podcast with my friend, chartered psychologist and senior lecturer at Nottingham Trent University, the beautiful Serena Simmons. And our new podcast is called What the Bleep is Behaviour Change Anyway? We have 6 powerful episodes for you in our first season, during which we are going to explore what behaviour change actually is in depth. We'll be looking at motivation, goals, habits, values, beliefs, and that all-important thing, self-awareness. We get deep into philosophy, and we also have a laugh along the way. This podcast is for you if you want to create powerful, long-lasting, healthy changes in your life that really stick like glue. And it's also for you if you're a practitioner and you want to learn the psychology underpinning behaviour change for your clients. Our first episode will be released on the 12th of January 2024, and you can find it wherever you get your pods. Just search What the Bleep is Behaviour Change Anyway? And finally, I have become an ICF certified space holder, which I am thrilled about. And to be honest, I got way more than I bargained for, because learning to be a space holder is less about doing and much more about becoming. During my 8 weeks of training, I have deepened my practice of becoming a powerful, loving presence. I've learned how to activate spiritual energy, how to release agenda, how to let there be silence, how to let there be pain, and how to lead from the heart. Honestly, the transformation in me has been delightful, and I've become so much happier with so much less.
And so I'm still percolating and marinating around what my space holding container will look like for you. But rest assured, it's happening. I am creating a new offering for you. If you'd like to be part of the beta test, just head on over to sallygarozzo.com/beta-test. And that link will be in the show notes. And also to let you know that this is going to be for all genders, because I'm a big believer that in order to heal ourselves deeply, we need to learn from each other and bear witness to what each other's lived experience is like. So, I really hope you enjoyed that episode, and I would love to know what your biggest takeaways were. If you're listening on Spotify, you'll notice that you can interact with me now using the Q&A tab at the bottom. Or as always, just come and find me on Instagram. I'm at Sally Garozzo Mind Mentor, or you can email me info@sallygarozzo.com. Or even better, drop me a message on WhatsApp. You can find a direct link to my WhatsApp in the show notes. Now, in a world where you could be listening to anything, I just want to acknowledge you and your drive for better health and well-being. I see you and I acknowledge you. Remember, if you're liking these podcasts and you really believe in getting the word out there about menopause, midlife, and mental health, then please subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can help to support the running cost of this pod by buying me a coffee. Just go to buymeacoffee.com/Sally Garozzo. Your support means that we get to reach out to more people who need to hear this message. And happy people means a happy world. Your interaction might very well help to save another person's sanity. All right, folks, happy new year. Thank you so much for all your support. It means the world. Have a great month, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.